Thank you very much, Malcolm, thank you all for showing up in the afternoon for I think will be a very interesting session. I'm very pleased to be here. It is a bit of a homecoming. I started, as was said, here at APHA, and I have been attending a lot of the conferences over the period that I was in Washington, but I've been out for 10 years in the field, so it's a little different coming back and reconnecting, so I look forward to this session very much. I just want to start by just saying that this is a, as many of you know, this is a very exciting time in international development. In September, the President Obama announced the President's policy determination, which is the first time that a president has ever had a determination on development. And many of us equate it very much to President Kennedy's letter that he sent to Congress beginning USAID in the 1960s. So it's a very strong statement on this administration in terms of the importance of development and its role with defense and diplomacy within our foreign assistance policy. Of course, the other big event or other big area of excitement is just the amount of resources that we have at our disposal. You know, we've been in a world of millions for a long time, and now we're in the world of billions, and that provides us with a tremendous opportunity. And for those of us working in the field for a long time, we were always looking for more attention and more resources, and in fact, we do have them, so it's a real opportunity for us. We also have a lot of new innovations going on. I know in my agency, USAID, Administrator Shaw has launched USAID Forward, which is a reform effort to try to streamline our processes, try to bring in more innovation, try to open up the box a little bit, and to bring in more outside thought. Dr. Shaw is bringing a lot of energy to our agency, and I know other agencies are having similar reforms. So hopefully you'll start to see that effect, those of you working with the various different government agencies. Today's talk about GHI is in some ways it's an evolutionary process that has been going on for some time. And the principles that I'll be talking about, really, they're not necessarily brand new. They're principles that have been learned over time, and particularly building a lot on our decades of experience in family planning, our work in child survival, and some of the work that we've been doing more recently with the Presidential Malaria Initiative, as well as the PEPFAR program. And I think all of these different activities have really demonstrated that we can achieve success, we can have marked increases in terms of our indicators, but we need to, in a sense, bring the whole to the picture. We need to make sure that our programs are actually working much more synergistically, that we're building capacity, and that we're looking at the long-term sustainability of our programs. And these themes are themes of GHI, they're themes of the reauthorized PEPFAR program. They're themes that resonate with those of us that have been working overseas, working with host country governments, working with our other donors, and there'll be some of the themes that I'll be talking about today. Oops. So, the history of the Global Health Initiative. Really, in many ways, we've been talking, as I said before, earlier on about this. Of course, in the 70s, we had a lot of attention on primary health care, health for all by the year 2000. We had a lot of work in these various different areas, and we're building on that. But as Malcolm said, the president announced the Global Health Initiative in May of 2009. And some of us felt it was a little premature because it was announced and then we all had to figure out what to do with it. But on the other hand, looking back, we're very fortunate that it was one of the first announcements, first initiatives of this administration before we had some of the financial constraints. And it really positioned us very well for both recognition within the administration and the attention that it's received. Since that time, there's been a lot of activity, We've had a series of interagency meetings, discussions from June till January, working on how, as a whole of government, how we would work together with the various different agencies. The principles, which I'll be talking about a little later, were articulated and developed over this period. Earlier this year, in January, we had a consultation document which was sent out, and I'm sure many of you in the room commented on this document. We had a wide input to that, which enriched the document and helped us quite a bit in terms of looking at our at how we would be moving forward. The GHI Plus countries were selected around April of this year, and we've had an interagency groups going out to each of these countries, working with them, working with the governments in terms of how we would be moving forward. And then each of these countries have been developing strategic strategies, and those have been developed. They've come back into Washington, six of the eight countries we've had, and we've been in a process of reviewing these documents. I was on the review team for the Malawi strategic plan, a very interesting document coming back for our attention. Now, the GHI has really a dual mandate. The sort of what you probably have seen in the past, our mandate to look at specific targeted impacts. Here you see eight different areas that we're focusing on: HIV/AIDS, child health, maternal health, tuberculosis, malaria, neglected tropical diseases, family planning, nutrition. And if you look at, I won't go through the exact targets, but they're pretty substantial targets that we're looking at. Reductions between 30 to 50% in many of the different areas. So a real substantive effort being made and focused on in these various different areas. But this in and of itself would not really constitute anything different. We've seen many of these programs, particularly HIV/AIDS, our malaria, and some of the tuberculosis, having a lot of very specific targets. And of course, we're building on the past targets, but this has really been the way that we've been operating in the past. What's different, and what I want to underscore with the GHI, is that we're looking at not simply targets, but how we achieve them. Not that we reach them in any way possible, but that we reach them through a process to build capacity. We reach them through a process that it looks at a more integrated approach so that we can build off of each other's platform, that we look at doing this where we're not driving the process as a USG alone, that we're doing this in collaboration both with our countries that are leading the process under the national plans, as well as working with our multilateral donors and bilateral donors. So it's very much of an area in terms of how we're doing our work. And those are really incorporated into the principles of GHI. And there's seven principles that were delineated. The first one, which is really fundamental, is country ownership, country-led. And again, having been overseas for a long time, it's best really in terms of the partners if you engage very actively within a country planning process. And many countries go through a national plan. It may be a national health plan, it may be a plan for HIV/AIDS, but many countries do this in a very collaborative process with other donors. And we're stressing that our teams overseas need to be very active members of these planning processes, because that's where you really sit down and over months discuss with your counterparts the various different options and the ways forward, and you also are able to delineate roles and responsibilities and how you'll be working together as a team, both with the government and also with your other donors, and you can divide up roles and responsibilities. So that really sets a framework in how we work with our countries. And I think in the past, either because of our our impatience to get targets, or because we were in an emergency mode, particularly with the treatment on ARVs, we often did the planning ourselves and then informed others about how we were doing. And we feel that though that was very important to reach out in terms of the amount of treatment, that in terms of sustaining this over time, we really need to do this much more comprehensively. We also need to look at building sustainability by building the foundation, which is the health system. And many of our programs have been doing this in the past, but this really elevates it to a key principle, and one that we're asking teams to report on and to really focus on in terms of how they'll be creating this the platform for us. And when we talk about working in health systems, it's not just government health systems. It's a broad array of looking at both government, but also civil society, the for-profit sector, all of the different actors that go into a health sector in a country. The third area is looking at research and innovation, looking at game changers that will really improve our program, not only just in technology, as we've seen lately with the CAPRISA 004 trial on microbicides, which is a potentially a very important breakthrough in terms of a woman-owned microbicide for HIV/AIDS, but also looking at innovation in terms of the systems and adoption of technology downstream, because many of the technologies that we have now aren't being well adopted and not having the result. Looking at increasing our impact through strategic coordination and integration, and through the coordination, looking at a whole of government approach, defining roles and responsibilities between agencies, looking in terms of how we work synergistically. And on integration, I think we've learned a lot of lessons in the past of integrating, not trying to integrate everything at once, but we're sort of more smart integration, looking at what makes sense, what really is doable at this phase, and moving forward on that. Improving the matrix and monitoring and evaluation, really looking at what works and what doesn't, our learning agenda. And this is, I would say, one of the areas that we've been quite weak over the last 5-7 years, and we want to really focus much more on this learning agenda. Focusing on women, girls, and gender equality. Clearly, this has been a focus, but certainly at the policy level, this is getting a lot more attention, particularly through the efforts of the Secretary of State, looking at women as central to development, the gateways, and putting more emphasis on that. Also, areas that are impediments to development, such as gender-based violence, as a key area of concern. And then finally, as I mentioned, not that we would be doing this alone, but we would be doing this in partnership, working with our various different multilateral agencies in the areas of HIV/AIDS, particularly with the Global Fund. A lot of effort is being spent now on trying to work with the Global Fund and PEPFAR and countries to make sure that we're better harmonized in our efforts and we complement what we're doing. So in terms of the funding, we see that the overall amount is $63 billion over 6 years, and that's broken down by about 70% or $39 billion for HIV/AIDS, about 15% or $12 billion for TB and malaria, and then another $12 billion for the MCH family planning and neglected tropical disease. Now, of course, this depends on the goodwill of Congress and what they allocate, but this is what's is being proposed. In the GHI Plus countries, we're looking at additional funds to do the learning agenda so that we can have a better idea of how we're going to integrate and work and move forward. And of course, all of this needs to be coordinated under the national plans. So what's new about GHI? I've mentioned some of these principles, but looking at a broader and connected, more integrated approach, looking at capacity building, improving our interagency collaboration, measuring the impact, implementing the learning agenda. And also I would say that the last point I haven't mentioned, but improving streamlining of the processes. And for those who have been working in the PEPFAR world, this is a very critical element of this new area, because we've been drowning in processes. I've been over on the other side trying to keep my head above water, and that's one of the highest priorities back in Washington, is trying to streamline, because we cannot do what I've been talking about if we spend 6 months of the year reporting back to Washington. And so we're really trying to, and it's a very serious effort right now at State and USAID and our other agencies, to try to reduce the amount of that we spend on process. So finally, let me just talk about what does this mean for our for countries overseas. We have, in the first phase, identified 8 countries: Bangladesh, Ethiopia, Guatemala, Kenya, Malawi, Mali, Nepal, and Rwanda, for the plus countries. And what does a plus mean? That means that you receive additional technical and managerial assistance from the combined agencies, focusing particularly on how we integrate our programs and making sure that we have a good handle on that. A real focus, again, on the learning agenda. And we're going to be in the next couple of weeks, we'll be announcing the next 20 countries that will be the plus countries. So we'll have a total of 28 countries in this phase, but eventually all countries really are going to be part of GHI, and it's just a matter of in terms of the intensity and phasing this in. Each country will have a strategy, and we expect by June of 2011 for these second batch, the 20 countries, to have their strategies completed. And with that, that's a very quick run through on GHI, and I will be happy to entertain questions and answers. Thank you very much.